Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One Another. The date today is the 10th of September 2009 and the time is 7:25 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
Okay, my name is Tim Owen Jones. I'm 29 years old and I'm originally from Bognor Regis, but I now reside in London.
Lovely. And can I ask, first of all, how are you?
Fine, thank you very much, yeah.
What was it that motivated you to apply to be part of One Another initially?
I think when I first found out about the project and I first put my name forward, I saw it as a... as some kind of platform to do something on a plinth. And it was a very open remit, and I knew about the work of Artichoke already. So I knew that there was an art in the public space, art in the public realm theme to what was going on. And I thought, gosh, if 2,400 people get a chance to stand on a plinth and do something, whatever that is, it would be quite good to put my name in for the running for it, to see if I was at, I would get the opportunity in the long run for posterity, for history, I guess, as well. It's an opportunity that won't happen again. So, yeah.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide how to spend your hour on it?
Well, I've been thinking about following, having applied right before the start of it and then gone through the process of thinking about things to do and seeing the plinth, being very aware of what was going on top of the plinth. I was very interested in a few different things, a few different kind of reactions and responses that... the piece had had with the public and with the press, so I didn't really see the piece as a performance space as such. Actually, I think it's more of a visual space. Maybe that's because of the media and because of just the huge amount of images that you do see, and also the concept that once the hour is over, all you have really to remember it, even if it is an online stream with kind of voice, is the imagery, I think, has been stronger, unless there's something real kind of strongly scripted. And for a whole improvised hour in my case, the imagery was kind of stronger for me, and the debate around the imagery as well, because there's been a lot of talk about people getting nude up on the plinth, and that being okay within the confines of an art gallery and within the confines of theatre as well. But I've been quite angry that there has been some kind of not necessarily negative response, but a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding when there has been flesh on the plinth for past plinthers. I wanted the experience to be about me as well, and I wanted to chat with people in the square, because I noticed that, I know from experience in London, that it's very difficult to engage in conversation with people at the flip of a hat. A lot of the time, you definitely have to initiate and invest in an opportunity to chat with a stranger in the street or in a public space. And I observed it happening a lot more on the plinth, so I definitely wanted to explore that a little bit, but also just enjoy it and just chat to some people who I otherwise wouldn't meet and find out a little bit about them, and make the experience for them a little more kind of valuable. So I spoke to somebody rather than just seeing somebody not understanding. I wanted to kind of explain really what was going on more than what I was doing. So in the end, I decided to go up on the plinth in a pair of, well, I went up clothed, but decided to get down to a pair of Speedos. I'm a swimmer. I swim most days. It's a sport that I used to do competitively when I was younger. I stopped doing it. I've started doing it as more of an adult. More of an adult. I don't really consider myself to be much of an adult, even though I'm 29. But I decided that if you have to go up onto the plinth and do something that's important to you, which a lot of people have decided that you know, that's how they want to read the situation, then I could use that as an excuse to nearly get naked, see if that caused as much kerfuffle as completely naked, go up wearing a pair of Speedos, because I would say, you know, to anybody, swim as much as you can. It's fantastic. It makes you feel good, and it feels lovely for me. I think I find solace in it. And visually, I think it would be quite effective. I've seen the fountains. I've seen images of the fountains in the background, and it, for me, the plinth became a bit of a diving board.
And now you have actually been on the plinth and you've just come down. Can I ask you to talk a little bit about your experience on the plinth? How was it for you?
So because I made a bit of a decision not to perform, because I didn't have any material, I wasn't entertaining or I wasn't telling jokes, and I didn't have a megaphone, so it was quite difficult to engage with a lot of people at the same time. I felt the experience was very much kind of similar to what happens on ground level, in the fact that my position, my role was that of a performer, or there for something for people to look at. Lots of people take photos of you, which is really bizarre. It's quite funny that, yeah, okay, like, there was an online stream which I'm aware will be kept, and there are, you know, photographers around, but lots of people, lots of holidaymakers who may or may not have expected to see anything happening on top of the plinth. They may well have not even been aware that there is a plinth, but taking lots of photographs. So it's bizarre to think that complete strangers are going to go away with a little piece of you, something that you've decided to do. And yes, there's a story to it, but at the same time, it's kind of bizarre. It's a very strange concept and strange use of public space. It went really well. I'm really, really glad to have done it. I'm really, really happy that that I got to experience what it was like, to see what all the fuss is about, and to be one of the 2,400 people that have become or will become part of this quite significant project, piece of artwork. So yes, I didn't wave and I didn't come down thinking, oh my gosh, it was brilliant, it's a life-changing experience, because I think I'd anticipated all the different possibilities of what it could be. But it was lovely to be up there, and the people I spoke to were completely lovely. Really, really nice. Got heckled twice, one person jokingly. I'm not classifying heckling as people telling me to get all of my kit off, because there are a lot of people saying, get all of my kit off. And all you have to say is no, and then they walk away, which is kind of disappointing, because it would be nice for a whole hour to accumulate a huge, great crowd and then not do it anyway. But you know, I feel as if I kind of like made my mark a little bit, I suppose. But I also, I'm very glad to have contributed, to be allowed to contribute as well. That's really quite special for me.
And can I ask you, now that we've spoken about your participation in the project, can I ask you to talk a little bit about yourself as a person, as one of the 2,400 people? And if I can ask you initially to somehow describe yourself in whichever way springs to mind as when I ask you to do that, what would you like to say about yourself?
So myself, I think I'm quite outgoing. I think I am quite extroverted. As a youngster, I was very aware of everything and everybody that was going on around me, so I would say that I was quite a shy person. Friends that knew me would say otherwise, I'm sure, and I was always in school plays and you know, quite vocal and knew a lot of people and had fun with a lot of people, quite friendly towards everybody. And that's kind of stayed with me, but I'm a lot more confident in myself and that role I can play within kind of social situations as well. I love kind of chatting to people. I love talking to people, engaging people. If I can make somebody feel better about themselves in any way, then I will try. I think everybody has a valid enough reason to exist, and so I definitely want to be able to kind of give everybody as much chance as they can, whether it's engaging in conversation with them if they're kind of left out or something in a party situation, I don't know. So I'm very kind of, I think I'm quite, yeah, just aware of what's going around me. And I like people a lot. I'm very interested in people. Very much an observer. Creative, in respect that I kind of work in the creative arts, and I think amazing things can happen in the creative arts. I made a decision not to go into a career that was 9-to-5 conventional, that was just doing a job for the sake of of having a life outside of that constraint, that convention, because life is too short, and I don't want to be bored or bore anybody with something that I don't feel as if is affecting people in a completely positive way. So I kind of chose to work within the arts, to be surrounded by creative, like-minded people, really, in my mind, completely interesting people with amazing, important things to say, and to be able to allow and facilitate kind of that people to have a voice and for beautiful and wonderful things to be made to make the world a better place.
And what sort of role do you want to play within the arts personally?
I'm on the verge of completing a master's in arts policy and management. It's the second master's I've done, and my first master's was in engineering. I spent 5 years studying really how to be a metallurgist, really. I wanted to exercise my technical brain, and made a decision before that to pursue my love of the arts and drama and theatre as a performer at that time, in my spare time, rather than going home and doing sums to relax and to have fun with my friends. I thought it seemed more logical to do it the other way around. So it's been a long process going through that master's. Then I was abroad all the time, learning all the time, very keen to and aware of the fact that I'm learning. I will always continue. I want to be in situations where I'm challenged, and I continue to learn as much as I can about whichever context is kind of going on. But within, I would like to facilitate within the arts. I would like to have creative input completely, and I think when that is called for, I would like to be in a situation where that can be included. I'm not confident or cocky enough to call myself an artist myself and say that, you know, my idea is what goes, because I'm a very flexible person as well, I think, and I'm open to being convinced better by, you know, by others. But to work within the arts and be able to facilitate, as in a managerial role, in a producer's role, be it visual, be it performative work, be it something completely different, be it a collaboration of lots of different things. I really want to work hard to make those things happen, to realise great things.
And what do you think the arts give to you personally? And what do you like to give back? Like, what is it about the arts that draws you to?
For me, I like to ask questions. I think people should ask questions. I'm very quick on the mark to read, to be as factual as I can, I guess, and to explain a situation for somebody if I feel they haven't understood it completely, and that I give, of course, my interpretation of what I feel as if I've understood for it. If it's completely factual on paper, black and white, then I feel as if I've done a good job. Sometimes I go, oh, for goodness sake, you've just explained your interpretation of like what's gone on. And the great thing about the arts is that there are 1,001. There are limitless interpretations to everything. It depends on the person's mood, it depends on the person, it depends on the experience, the context, everything. And I really, really love that. And I mean, that's how the arts affect me. I really love kind of looking at a painting, or I really love, actually, in the theatre, watching the audience. And I really love trying to interpret for myself what that moment means for that person, rather than watching what goes on stage and completely being self-obsessed or obsessed with what's going on stage and empathizing completely with the characters. I'm really interested in what happens in real life as well. So I think art can do amazing things in real life for people. Can enrich their experience of it, can make it more pleasurable. It does for me. Sometimes there are question marks, and sometimes I tut. And I go, oh, but that's not art, that's just entertainment. And that's a pretentious thing for me to say. Who am I to say that the experience that person has from having a TV, which I have made a conscious decision not to have, has any less value than me becoming confused and in the end forgetting an experience I have in an art gallery or at the theatre because it wasn't very good, or because I didn't give it the justice and the time and the value that it deserves.
And you mentioned earlier that you go swimming every day.
Yes.
And you used to compete.
Yes.
Is that right? Can I ask you a little bit about that, about swimming in your life?
So I've always been rubbish at team games, at kind of football, rugby, masculine, violent games. As a kid, it completely turned me off. Like, I remember one significant moment when there was me and a guy called Glenn. I can't remember his surname, but we definitely didn't like football. And there was a point where, you know, we were out on the pitch and I've blocked a lot of it, and if I could avoid it, I suppose if there was an alternative to playing football, I would choose the alternative, be it gymnastics or be it something else. I've always enjoyed exercise, but I remember there was a point where we were consciously running in the opposite direction to the football and trying not to be sussed out by any of our teammates or the PE teacher. And it was quite funny, actually. This is a chap that I wasn't particularly friendly with, but we did have a giggle, and we did know that we were kind of being slightly rebellious in our running away from the football. I used to swim from a very early age, from I guess the age of 6 or 7. I was introduced to swimming once weekly, and come the end of, I gave it up when I was about 16 because of exam pressure and wanting to do my, it was around about the time of doing GCSEs. I remember a few incidents where people were starting to get social. I was invited to various parties and I couldn't go because of my swimming commitments. And I, as a 14-year-old, I started to get a little bit angry, not really wanting to have to go, swim again when I was missing out on developing, I guess, the social me and relationships with people. So when I hit A-level age, kind of 17, 18, I didn't swim. I really wish I had continued with it, because it was something that I found, again, at university. Wanting to do a sport, kind of admiring the commitment that other peers experienced from sport, and recognizing that I'd had a lot of pleasure from the swimming beforehand, and also drinking lots of beer and kind of eating maybe not as good food. I've always been very conscientious about eating, good food, but maybe not eating as good a food as I should be, and wanting to maintain some kind of healthy existence. And beyond that as well, I have a lot of energy. I'm quite an energetic person, and to be able to swim, I kind of expel a lot of energy, and exercise is great. Endorphins are wonderful things, and it's nice to be able to do something that's healthy for you rather than use any other laboratory designed substitutes for these kind of emotional highs or whatever. Like when you swim really hard and then you come out of the swimming pool, it keeps you going for half a day. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's peaceful, it's serene. It's not a team sport, so you kind of miss the engagement and camaraderie of a social sporting exercise, I guess. But at the same time, I now get to swim in an outdoor swimming pool, which is absolutely lovely. It's almost like being in Barcelona, where I lived for 3 years. I used to swim in an outdoor pool there, and that was wonderful. And as I kind of turned my head to the left to breathe, I would see the Mediterranean Sea across the edge of the swimming pool. That was a wonderful experience. And it's just like a nice, relaxing, yet kind of vigorously stimulating pastime to maintain a level of fitness and to make me feel better.
Just to pick up on what you said about living in Barcelona for 3 years, what was it that took you there?
So I decided, I made a conscious effort after my degree in engineering, having been spending a lot of time with the theatre company, starting off performing, then acting, deciding or recognising that I wasn't engineering that I wanted to go into, asking the question, maybe I should have done another degree instead, but actually realizing or deciding that it was right, that I'd started it for a reason, I was going to finish it for a reason. I knew that I then didn't want to go down to London like a lot of my creative friends and work within an industry in London and pay a lot of money for it and struggle for it and not actually see my friends as much as I would be able to if I just visited them. I've always been very interested in living abroad and just in how people are really, being very aware that people can be different in different places. So I really wanted to experience that. Through university, I did a 6-month work placement in Holland. I loved that. That was quite interesting because I found Dutch culture to be ever so similar to British culture, be it I get a Northern European Protestant, situation. But there were a few customs that just kind of threw me, and every so often just something that kind of like offset me a little bit. And I was like, gosh, this is really interesting. Like, these people have different experiences to me. It's not just a different language. I learned a little bit of the language and then was determined to expand on that experience. Knew I had with the engineering degree that I didn't want to use, that teaching English as a foreign language was an industry that could allow me access to a livable wage in, well, anywhere in the world that doesn't speak English. That was very good to find out about. I found out about that through a friend who trained in Barcelona. I went and trained in Barcelona as well, off the back of the good reputation that the school had, and from the experiences that my friend had. Went out there by myself. Left a boyfriend stranded, unfortunately, in England, but had decided that, you know, then, and both of us realised that was what I was going to do, so maintained a relationship for a year. That unfortunately finished, but the idea was that Barcelona was a roller coaster of coming to terms with being a foreigner in a different place, and feeling as if you come to terms with situations and different customs and different rituals and different language as well, and then all of a sudden that being offset by something happens to you, or you just kind of have a moment of clarity. You just kind of think, gosh, well, you know, what I thought, what I expected or thought I understood is actually completely different. And knowing that after 3 years, like, I've touched the surface of what, you know, what Catalonia is, and what my friends experience, having now very lucky to have Catalan friends and Spanish friends, and feeling as if I have, as you know, a more of an understanding of who they are and where they come from, knowing that I only have 3 years experience as an adult rather than 29 years of growing up and referencing forever in my mind. So it's something that I want to continue doing, but really completely open my eyes to a different way of living, a healthier way of living. Not, I nearly said healthier, but not in every respect. Kind of an interesting way of living, another way of living, an alternative way of living. That there's something that I'd like to bring into future experiences. Yeah.
And now you're back. You did move to London, mm-hmm, at some point. What's important for you in your life going forwards now?
I want to explore. I want to have find work that is worthy and interesting and stimulating, not just for me, but for everybody else who is working within that environment and also gets to experience that, be they audience members or spectators or participants in some kind of creative process or creative event or piece. I'm here in London. I'm just on the verge of finishing a master's. I'm very glad. I want to finish the master's. I've got 3 weeks for my dissertation to be handed in. I'm not enjoying writing my dissertation. As romantic an ideal I had at the start to sit down and type and enjoy communicating through literature and research and this kind of stuff, I really want it to be over now. I did the second master's as a means to an end to have a qualification that didn't require massive conversations as to, well, how on earth are you where you're at if you have an engineering degree? I really wanted to learn and know what I was doing within an industry that I want to work in and within an arena it is an industry as well as a lifestyle. A lifestyle is the word I was looking for as well. Always as an engineer, in my engineering guys, people would say, no, but you're not an engineer. And now in my creative guys, people say, no, you weren't an engineer. And I'm more of an engineer now than I ever was then, because I talk about my experiences and my knowledge for metallurgy and my appreciation and for metallurgy and the knowledge that exists out there and the wonderful things you can do with it as well. I want to bring that all together at some point, all of that knowledge that I be that on my deathbed or be that through the work that I can create or allow to be created. I think I'm hoping that there are some interesting times and some interesting things that can be created with my input.
And can I ask you about where you're from as well? We haven't yet spoken about that.
So I'm originally from the south coast of England. My two of my grandfathers were Welsh in origin. One of them was born and brought up in Wales and then moved to the south coast, a town called Bognor Regis, just before being stationed or before going abroad to fight in the Second World War. My other grandfather, Welsh origins, was from Newcastle upon Tyne. Grandmother, who came from Brixton and moved down to Bognor Regis for her father's health. Other grandmother, who came from a family with the lineage going back quite a long way in Sussex and in hometown. Everybody grew up, or everybody stayed in that town. My parents went to the same primary school. My mum went to a grammar school. My dad went to the comprehensive. My mum left to go to London to train to be a nurse. Re-met my dad and decided to move down back to Bognor Regis. Mother nurse, father fireman, both working in the services, had a very comfortable, very pleasurable, completely enjoyable, wonderful upbringing with my younger sibling, my younger brother, 2 years my junior. Left Bognor Regis when I was 18, felt as if, and now I completely appreciate it. I love the sea, I really miss the seaside, but grew up actually in a town that's not very inspiring, but actually the settings are very beautiful. You have the South Downs to one side of you, have the channel to the south. So every time I take the train journey down, and I'm lucky enough to have been brought up in a little house that has a field quite close to the back of it, and I feel as if I can hear the sea, although it might be traffic from my bedroom window. But it felt as if I had to leave when I was 18 because there weren't the opportunities that I wanted to take advantage of, and felt there are other opportunities elsewhere that I wanted to explore. So went up to Sheffield, went up to the north of England to study for my first degree and to see how it was living far away from home and to experience and sample the lifestyle up in the north of England, which I'd been told was very different to that of the south. And I have fond memories. I still am very lucky to have, or unlucky that one of my grandparents has passed away, but still have three grandparents, still go home and are in regular telephone contact with my family, who are still down in Bognor Regis, my parents, who are still happily married after 35 years, and I found out this last week because I thought, my gosh, have I just missed the 25-year anniversary? Called them. I'm still convinced I'm 18. It's ridiculous. Every time I realise I'm actually 18 plus 11, I just think, where did that decade go? Ask myself the question and out loud, oh gosh, I'm now talking about decades. Doesn't it feel awful when I'm talking 10 years ago as the same amount of adult as I am now? It's lovely kind of upbringing and fond memories of growing up on the South Coast. And that's potted history of where I come from.
And did you tell your family about going up in the plinth, your friends and family?
My parents are on holiday in Greece at the moment, so I left a message. I spoke to them about 20 minutes before I went on the plinth to say, are you anywhere near anywhere near a computer? And they weren't. Again, I didn't really want to make a performance of it. I feel as if, gosh, if that was an hour-long performance, like, it's not as good as some of my shows that I've been in when I was at university. But actually, it wasn't a performance for me at all. It was an experience. And it was an experience as part of a piece of art, be it even the word, the living sculpture kind of reference. For me, I feel a little bit uneasy because, for me, that's somebody who's alive who's pretending to be a sculpture almost. For me, it was an experience on top of a very significant space. There are three other spaces identical that are commemorated and are utilized for other purposes. To be allowed that privilege to celebrate people who from the United Kingdom, in which, you know, like, to say celebrate me it feels wrong because that's not what I want at all, but to be part of a project that kind of does celebrate that, I wanted people and people are able to see it. So I told my mother, my mum and dad, who are on holiday in Greece, 20 minutes before, told grandparents who can't see it because they don't have computers either, told cousin who has, I have two kind of younger second cousins who I know do have a computer and they would quite like to see me, I guess. So I did say that. I didn't give a shout out to them, bless them. So Jade and Kane, I was thinking of you. I knew you were watching up on the plinth and I'm sorry I didn't mention your names. But yeah, I told my family about it and two significant friends. I felt as if I would be told off if I didn't tell anybody, but at the same time, 5 minutes before I went up, I was just going to say I didn't want anybody else to know, but I did put on Facebook, I'm going on the plinth now, watch. And if anybody saw it, good for them. And if anybody did, no skin off my nose, like, that's not important to me either, so, yeah.
Very good. Can I ask also about your kind of beliefs? Do you have any kind of beliefs, religious or political? Anything?
I think I'm a very spiritual person. I think I'm quite a political person, but I feel too young, too earnest, too naive, too uneducated to make any decisions and to associate myself with anything in particular at this time. It's funny because my first boyfriend was quite religious, came from quite a religious background. We used to argue forever, and I would very much say I'm you know, agnostic. I don't feel as if at the moment, maybe not humankind, but I am not in a situation to kind of say what greater power exists. I believe that there is something within the human psyche that craves, that needs, that desires. This is a belief of mine. I don't think I said this is what I know. I believe that there is something that exists, be that a construct or be that something real. I'm more inclined to say it's a construct, but I feel as if it's incredibly important anyhow. However, issues that concern religion and fighting between people with different beliefs, I feel is completely unjustified, which is maybe why I am reticent to kind of associate myself with one particular form of it. I would say that, I haven't been christened. I'm happy that I haven't been christened, so I wouldn't consider myself to be a Christian, although I've been brought up I went to a Church of England primary school, and I've spoken to my parents about it when I was a teenager. He said, like, well, you know, my father's Christian, my mother isn't, which I'm interested by, I guess. It's nothing to do with me, it's to do with them. But as far as beliefs and politics go, I just believe in a fair system to exist for people, everybody, whoever they are, and for people and for me to have a faith in something, be that humankind, be that goodness, be that what I interpret as being good behavior or good morals, ethics, thoughts, beliefs of other people. I'm all for that. I think that's okay. I quite like churches. I think they're very serene places. Maybe that's because there is a God, or maybe that's because they've been created to be beautiful places and quite, well, yeah, beautiful sometimes, maybe not so beautiful other times, but special places. It's nice to appreciate specialness in things, and it's quite nice walking to work and just not get grumpy and moany. I'd make it an effort not to feel grumpy or moany about anything, because actually opportunities can be taken away. You can have opportunities. I've made decisions to be here. I've been very privileged as well to have the upbringing that's been provided for me and to be in the kind of situation within society that I am. So I'm very grateful to those that have influenced me and those that have provided that for me. That's for me is quite a spiritual thing, I guess, as well, an existential thing.
You've mentioned a couple of times about boyfriends of yours. Can I ask, if you're comfortable to answer, can I ask about being a gay man and how that is for you, and also in the UK as well, your kind of how you found that?
For me, it's not an issue there. For me, it's not an issue anymore. I see it as completely natural. I think there are societies where it's not easy. There are societies very close to home, very close to the UK, where it's not so easy. There are situations in the UK where it's not so easy, and I think that's a real shame. So I think when it comes to gay activism and gay rights, I think there actually is a lot of more work to be done, actually, which was a belief that I wasn't so sure of. You'd have asked me that question maybe 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I was very much of the kind of persuasion where I was just like, this is who I am, and people can take it or leave it. But maybe you do, if you're a role model for other people, or you're a representation of something for people, maybe you have a responsibility to, of course, not do anything that isn't you. But at the same time, I feel that, again, through people that I know and people I've come into contact with, I've been very lucky that people have not been afraid of not knowing or not being able to understand who I am and choices that I've made, be it a lifestyle or be it a moment or be it just the way my brain developed in my mother's womb, whatever it is. I would hope one day, currently single, to, you know, I will have a life that is the same for me as a conventional heterosexual life. I will find somebody who I'm completely in love with, but hope they love me at the same time, and would feel it was unfair if anybody judged me for that and was nasty, violent, or confused. Actually, would be a shame, because it's, you know, people shouldn't be confused about situations. But yeah, as yes, so if anybody was to come, it would be a shame. It would be a shame for that person not to sort of be in a situation where you know they can appreciate the love, be it their own love for somebody or somebody else's love for somebody else. So yeah, that's about as much. I'm kind of getting not confused, but that's maybe a bigger question. But yeah, as a gay man, I find if people are bothered, they're generally people I won't be interested in what I'm interested in anyway, and likewise I'm probably not very interested in what they're interested in, so there's no issue.
And is there anything else that you would like to bring up?
No, there's no issue, other than the fact that no, I'm very, very grateful that for being part of the One Another project. Really happy that I got to stand up on the plinth to be one of the 2,400, and I think it's a wonderful project, and everybody that's involved in it as well is you know really exceptional, has made the experience fantastic, and good luck to everybody else who gets to go on the plinth.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.